Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Turned Out of Punk Splits. I'm your host, Damian Abraham, and once again, we are bringing back together not one, but two guests that have previously been on the show. Sometimes they know each other, sometimes they don't. This time, they know each other because they used to hang out together. Returning to the show, one of many appearances, Nick Flanagan, one of the greatest front people ever, lead singer of Teen Cred Combo, Brutal Knights, Wrong Hole more recently, and also a comedian, and as I said, a podcaster in his own right on the Nick Flanagan Weekly Podcast. And John Daly is returning to the show. You might know John Daly from The Kroll Show. You might know him from MODOK. You might know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm. You might know him from many different appearances over the years. And we'll talk about what he's got coming up in a second. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on social media at Left4Damian. If you want to find the show on like YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, you just look up at Turned Out of Punk. The show is normally booked by my brother and show producer, Tristan Abraham. And there's an email address, turnedoutofpunkpodcast@gmail.com to get in touch with the show over there. I play in a band. We are called Fucked Up. You can find out more information at fuckedup.cc. We got some shows coming up. We're going back to Europe, going on tour with this little band, little bit of an important band called The Damned. I'm very excited about this one. And we got records. So find out more information over there at fuckedup.cc. Oh, we're also playing in Toronto in a couple weeks. I don't know if that's tickets are still available. Maybe not. Find out more information at fuckedup.cc. All right, on to today's show. Today on the show, Nick Flanagan and John Daly reunited. And this is someone who, or these are two people that I'm friends with. I think are both very funny people. And it's going to be a loose podcast. I'm not going to lie to you. anytime Nick's on the show, things get a little bit looser, a little bit edgier, a little bit, more fly by the edge kind of thing. I guess that works. And John Daly, of course, also a very funny person. And with this thing goes weird places. We talk about a lot of weird shit on this podcast. Splits is always a dice roll. You never know what's going to come out when you put on a Splits podcast. Even when you're recording a Splits podcast, sometimes you're just sitting there slack-jawed at some of the things people are saying. But that is Splits. And I don't mean that in the best way possible. That sounds super harsh as I'm saying it, but this is a fun one. You're going to hear it in a second, so I'm not going to ramble on anymore telling you about why you're going to enjoy it. But John Daly is going on tour as Johnny Doily, and it's a incredibly funny satire of some of the terrifying people that have emerged on our media landscape. He's doing a tour as this guy it's going to be hilarious. And if you are in Los Angeles on Tuesday, John's doing a special preview of this thing, and you can find out more information over on John Daly Graham, at John Daly Graham on Instagram. Also, if you Google John Daly, Johnny Doily tour, I'm sure it'll all come up as well. I'm very excited to see this because he's also coming to Toronto and doing a show here on October the 4th. He's going to be in Philadelphia the next day. It's a bit of a long drive. I don't think he's going to be chilling out too much after the show. Then in Pittsburgh the day after that, hometown show. Big hometown show for John Daly. And then on the 8th in Chicago, and then finishing it off in New York on the 10th. Go out and see John Daly, an incredibly funny person, and this show will be awesome. I think this is going to be something really special. Check out Nick Flanagan's podcast, Nick Flanagan Weekly. Check out John's podcast, Two Johns Don't Make a Right, with Tall John. I've listened to every episode as we talk about this on this. He never shuts me out on the air. He always shuts out these other people that listen to every episode. But here my brother and I are, we're listening to every episode. We talk about it with each other. But anyway, this isn't about my axes to grind. This is about this Turns Out a Split episode. Well, I don't think there's anything more for me to add right now. I'll see you at the John Daly Show in Toronto if you're around. And that's it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Turned Out of Punk Splits with John and Nick. Yeah, we got this. I am so excited to have you both here. I'm here with two people that I always associate with each other because I've heard you talk before, and I know you guys hung out IRL. And I think, yeah, John, we even talked about Nick on your episode of this podcast.
Yeah, we
But
rapped about Flanagan.
we wrapped up some flans, and very excited to have you both here. John and Nick, welcome back to the show. Nick, yeah, I think you've been here a few times, but John,
I've
welcome
been
back.
here a lot.
Dude,
I've
thanks so much
been
for
here a
having
lot.
me on. I really appreciate it. And you're the best. I love this podcast and I listen to every episode. I know that you listen to also my podcast every, and that's very nice of you, but I listen to everyone and you really do the work and I love it so much. And thank you for continuing to do it. It's fucking great.
Oh, I love
Nick,
as a,
I love your podcast too. And we're going to do it next week, right?
Yeah, I can't
okay, cool.
wait.
Good.
And I'm going to see you in Toronto.
And
And
I'm going on tour. I'm going on tour. Guys, Toronto, come out to see it. Yeah, the
you
Monarch.
You got to do it.
The
October 4th.
Monarch, October 4th. That's 10-4, good buddy. Right?
I'll do a wraparound.
Yeah, will you? Will you
yeah,
be a? Will you do something like?
Oh, I, the show?
Whatever.
No, I meant I was going to do a
yeah.
wraparound where I'll plug the dates, you know, on.
Oh,
like,
great. No, 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 no. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I'm already plugging hard.
But I can, I know, believe me, I can come and I'm going to be very happy to be there. It's my wife's birthday, too.
Happy
oh,
birthday.
That's great.
So we're going to have a
you
great
know,
celebration.
It's always the best when a friend has someone, it's their birthday or something on the day of a show, because then they bring like 85 people.
Right, right.
You know.
So, you know, kind of influencer to into that direction. Like,
exactly.
I might want to call
pressure
some people.
You, Damien.
Yeah. It's a good show to, for intro to John Daly. I'll say that.
Are you going
to
do it?
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, I'm wondering, are you going to put a Canadian spin on it when you're up here?
Yeah, I was thinking that because, yeah, because there's just so much Canada stuff
oh,
that
yeah.
I can take because the truckers. Yeah, I mean, there was very similar kind of things going on. Trudeau, I think I'm Johnny Doyle. It's very much political. It's conspiracy. It's, you know, TikTok health tips. It's dating tips. It's going your own way as a man, kind of a
right.
body fascism. And I think I can definitely get some stuff in with Trudeau. I have to do some research. I don't know much about him besides he is devilishly handsome.
John, I will give you so much information. First of all, the saying that people have here is they say fuck Trudeau. And they have stickers and decals.
That's the saying? Fuck Trudeau.
No, it's not the smartest movement. I don't want to besmirch it.
It's not even Let's Go Brandon. Yeah.
No.
But that's a Let's Go Brandon to Canada.
I saw a guy at this like county fair we have in Toronto called the Canadian National Exhibition. And the guy had a Let's Go Brandon shirt. And I was just like, if you came from Buffalo, this is all right. But if you didn't, like, who's this for? Like,
right.
What are you
right.
doing? You're trying to get a visa? You want to get a picture and show it for to get your green card or something?
Right.
So they say fuck Trudeau and they have all these bumper stickers that say fuck Trudeau. It's never one. This is the thing. It's like
right.
six. They have to have six.
I like fuck Trudeau. It's just a good thing to chant.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck Trudeau or whatever. You know,
totally.
That's pretty good.
It's a movement.
Also, I think Rob Ford. And Doug Ford, like they're played. Like I can't really say.
Doug, yeah, go after Doug.
Yeah,
go after Doug.
Doug's in the middle of a thing.
Is he smoking rocks too, or what's?
No,
his
he was a hash dealer allegedly. He was that. He was more
yeah.
to the hash world allegedly.
He's from the part of Toronto that I went to high school vaguely, and he was a hash dealer. There was a huge newspaper article about he was like selling like a teen drug dealer. What's amazing is he's just really doing this super low rent daily mayor daily kind of thing, you know, where
oh,
he's just
right.
He's just really done this dumb real estate thing where he like carved out a bunch of basically like conservation area type stuff in
right.
like outside of Toronto for housing. Cause everyone
yeah.
wants, you know, everyone wants to move into the middle of the woods.
Right.
And he gave all the contracts to like his friends, and now
yeah.
all these people are resigning and he's fucked, and hopefully he is fucked.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, Everything you just said about him makes me like love him. Like he was a hash dealer. Yeah, it's like, well, and it's not who you want as your politician, but I bet he's a fun hang, you know.
Rob Ford's the exact same way, right? Where you see footage of him like dancing to reggae.
I'm just gonna confuse people until I'm mayor. Whatever. Like, what is the technique? Like, clearly a mess, a terrible person, and they're just it works.
The technique is you give everyone your phone number and they sell you crack and they go, you know, I got a broken pipe in my house, in my apartment. And you go, well, I'm going to fix that pipe.
Yeah.
He gets the city to fix the pipe and he's got to vote.
That's true. Yeah. He'll just do, he'll hook up his homies.
When he was running for mayor, Doug, I moderated a debate and had to hang out with him backstage as we're preparing for the debate. Yeah, it was like
amazing. What?
He didn't get elected for mayor, and then he ultimately got elected as premier, which is even more frightening.
Much worse, yeah.
Jesus.
All he wanted to do was talk to me about how fun Austin was.
Austin the town?
Yeah.
Austin. Yeah, I mean,
like, he's like, keep Austin weird. He's like, have you heard of this guy, Blaze Foley?
He
had gone to Austin City Limits and had the best time, he told me.
Oh, cool. And
even back then, before this conservation stuff, like I was not fucking with Rob Ford or Doug Ford. So I'm just like, yeah, man, whatever. He's like, yeah, your band, you ever play down there? Yeah, a few times over the years.
Yeah, so you were being kind of pissed off you're rather just kind of like, yeah, whatever, man. Like,
yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't need this shit. And so we finished the debate, and then I'm down doing an interview about moderating this debate. And all of a sudden,
how do you find yourself doing
that? Yeah,
that's a whole other story, but that's so funny.
He comes from behind and just gives me this huge hug and like picks me up and like, I love this guy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Because you were withholding. He can't deal with you being withholding. Everybody has to love this fucking guy. And so he was just like, I don't care.
You're I can turn this around to punk now. This is crazy. Because Rob Ford, one of his like B-sides that's totally amazing is that he was like doing one of his usual meet and greets where he takes a picture with like anybody. And this dude poses with him in like this full military regalia, like that's very obviously not good to wear. It's like antique and it's revealed this guy is wearing like regalia of like the Latvian SS basically. And he was the lead singer in the famous racist band Rahowa, Racial Holy War.
Whoa!
So, Rob Ford got a snap with that guy.
Are they Canadian?
They are.
Rahowa are unfortunately Canadian. Yes.
Never heard of them. So they're like,
dude, you got to check out
Mentors
their early
or
stuff.
Something of Canada.
No, Mentors is much better.
Make the Mentors look like Rage Against the Machine. Like they are fucking brutal.
right. Like, yeah, wow.
The fascinating about this is that I recently learned that a friend of ours, I'm not going to out who it is. I'll let this person tell the story themselves at some point.
Doug Ford?
Went to high school with the lead singer of Rahowa. And back then he was part of what they called the Chocolate Cake Club, which was a black and white student unity association. So he was like actually actively, I guess, anti-racist in high school.
Right.
In some way, and then I guess went off to college and learnt hate.
Right.
And ran Resistance Records. Well, they ran Resistance Records, which is one of the worst labels ever. And it's put out.
Oh, they did. I forgot they did Resistance. Resistance was a humongous racist label.
Yeah.
And they
really
made. Oh, yeah. And they even made a. I was just reading about this when I was on the Wikipedia for controversial video games today. And
I want to hear more on that later.
More later.
And, spicy video game.
That's a tease in the biz.
Resistance Records made a white supremacist like PC game as well as being Resistance Records. So they branched out to software. Yeah.
horrible
computer
game.
Programmers, dude. Computer guys from the 80s. Yeah. They had something Perbs. Going on.
Larry,
that's like Scott Adams is from that area. Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry. I mean, the guy who made that. It's rough. The humor in that, too, is like, it's like, you know, it's coming from a lonely man.
The creator of Earthworm Jim has some really dark opinions.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
On the same side of people that design children's toys are a little weird sometimes. Do you remember the LJN WWF action figures, the big rubber ones that you get?
Yeah,
as a kid?
I classic. Think so. Yeah, so classic, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
There was a Miss Elizabeth figure, and there's also a one of one that sells for tens of thousands of dollars, like almost $100,000. I think the last time it sold, nude Miss Elizabeth that
like painted nipples or something. I am about to vomit. But as I recall, those things, like, my friends would have those things and they'd have done terrible things to Miss
there'd
Elizabeth.
Be Poor there'd Miss be Elizabeth. Bite marks in a lot of those. They're very biteable, you know, that kind of biteable rubber,
and they're basically big erasers, like,
yeah, but
like
probably more toxic.
Definitely. They're lacquered. Yeah.
Oh, erasers, my God, I love good. I love those. My Terry Funk one, I really liked that one a lot.
I've actually had a couple friends give me their old ones, so now I've got a pretty good collection of. And I love that they're beat up. I don't have any chewed on ones, but I've got some. All the paint's faded on them and stuff like that.
Yeah, the paint is a lot. Is very bad. Even when I was a kid, I remember like somebody's King Kong Bundy or whatever was like. I was like, "Oh, this is a dirty, dirty toy."
Yeah, they had the germs
played with this
on
far
that
too
shit.
Much. Yeah, there's no paint.
They were like
it.
The original fleshlights.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, Nick! Controversial
seriously.
Video game Wikipedia masterpiece.
Hey, you know
with
what? It's after wait. Midnight over here.
I would have to.
Okay, wait. So there was like an extant racist, explicitly racist, like in their. Literature, the bands they found, like, it was like every band was like Screwdriver. Like, what are the how many bands
ethically,
can a label like that sustain? Like, that's
many.
Well, sadly, yeah. There's it exists in almost every genre.
It's probably like
R&B.
There's racist rap,
racist jazz.
Yeah, I'm sure there's racist R&B.
Is there racist rap?
There's racist rap music, and it's like. Yeah.
From white people that are racist against black people?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, actually, John, I discovered this crazy Vancouver guy, again, getting into Canadian stuff, who does like super, it's not like explicitly racist. It's like tries to be on the Kid Rock tip, but it's like
cool.
Super shoddy, super white, like pro-America rap by like a Vancouver guy who was excommunicated from the hip hop scene. I have to find that and send it to you.
Whoa. I mean, I feel like there were like skinhead bands, obviously, and like stuff in growing up in Pittsburgh. Like, I was definitely like at hardcore shows and stuff where I was like, oh man, this is like edges, tons of skinheads here. And so it's like a skinhead thing, but I never thought like having the organizational power as dumb racists to put together like a record label. But I guess if you're
actually,
like really dedicated to it, you know,
well, that's where it starts.
Make anything happen.
Yeah, but the internet is like, has like hate is, you know, they're super into like this weird attempted organization. I mean, even the KKK is like this very organized, like dumb.
Oh my
idea
God.
Put into right. practice. And, but I, like the guys who made that website Stormfront, you know,
oh
the really
God.
Famous
yeah.
race, the dude who did that, first of all, went to jail because in the 80s, he tried to do a coup in some Caribbean island with a bunch of other racist people and got arrested. Or maybe it was US territory. And in jail, he learned how to program. And he made the racist forum Stormfront.
Wow. That just goes to show you, don't teach these prisoners nothing.
No.
Stare at the wall.
Stare at the wall.
Not license you know. Plates. You're learning too much. So.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe like
Stormfront. Yeah. Channel your anger into a Nazi website.
But Stormfront was a very rudimentary website.
I actually prefer these days Stormfront to Twitter or X. It's actually a little milder.
Yeah.
It's a little chilling. Yeah.
Stormfront at least doesn't have that sort of millennial attempt at memeing or whatever.
Yeah. It's a little more like Hello Giggles.
It's like Witstream. It's more
like Witstream. It's like Yahoo Answers. Because like every question I have about which groups to hate is answered.
But no, I was going to say, it's like these bands don't even need a lot of members to have like eight bands. It's like any scene, you know, especially in like punk. Like it's always like I'm in some, I'm involved in putting on shows and doing stuff with shows here in Toronto. And like all the people I know or work with, they're all like in the same band, but there's like eight to nine bands.
It's like a collective, like the same bass players in four bands or something. Yes. Like
broken.
I made that up. I don't know why.
Broken person social scene.
Broken social. Yeah. Broken.
Well, Broken Social Scene was just all the bands, all people from different bands in Toronto that no one really went to see.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Kind of. They were sort of popular. Like they were bands that had deals in Canada. They were all really good musicians and they had connections to like really good producers and stuff, but they weren't, you know, there was like in America, they didn't have that crossover at all. But when they all got together.
Right. Something. I've never heard their music. I got to check them out.
You've never heard them all?
I've probably heard it somewhere, but I've never nice like guitar. Identified Broken Social Scene.
I would have thought like there was a time in LA and New York where it was kind of ubiquitous a little bit.
It was. Like, I think it was. I just never, for whatever reason. Yeah. Like, was it around the time of the like Dirty Projectors or like the time of the Strokes?
Kind of after Strokes.
I mean, that's a big difference.
Almost in between. Almost
really
between.
okay
yeah, yeah. because it was like it was this moment in like maybe 2005. I don't remember the times that well, might have even been a bit earlier, and Montreal stuff got big at almost the same time, and the Arcade Fire played some really huge shows, especially in Canada, that like made a legend for themselves. And in Toronto there was a Broken Social Scene show that might have been like their first show at the Horseshoe Tavern. I think it was at the Horseshoe, and it suddenly was all written about, and it was the beginning of this really quick ascent. And that was when there were like all these groups that were like nine people, like New Pornographers I think was like basically a super group.
They're awesome.
When that started, you know, and
I guess I checked out of music for quite a while there.
I think like Broken Social Scene's ascent here, Arcade Fire in Montreal, was very much like Canada trying to have that sort of New York, you know, meet me in the bathroom kind of moment.
Right. I just read that book. I would listen to it in my car. Interesting.
It's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that I feel like gets left out that I think is for me all super fascinating. But yeah. I guess.
Do you mean in Toronto or that book?
That book.
Yeah.
Like Jason Green, who is from the Orchid, played in Panthers, taught Steve Aoki how to DJ. He's like really.
He's my favorite DJ.
Yeah. Steve Aoki. Steve Aoki.
I just love it.
Come for the cake.
I love that. I'm a ceviche. I like ceviche.
But I think his perspective on that. But they like, it's funny because like Panthers like took ARE Weapons out on tour and like
ARE Weapons, man. Yeah,
I know, right? That. Moments in time.
Wow. Yeah, that's,
yeah, I hadn't thought about
that. They were fucking the coolest band in the world for a second. I mean, in just crazy. In New York City. Yeah.
And well, that was also like that. That was
they
like
came they, down here. They had a thing in Toronto going.
Oh, for sure.
When
that was
down.
Kind of like they were kind of part of the Electro Clash,
right?
Hangover, I guess, like the spillover between the two scenes.
Yeah.
Well, John, do you know like when I first started going to New York, it was to do stuff. It was really interesting because that whole like pianos was a big comedy spot.
Yeah, and Lady Gaga's first. That's where she put on all her like tried out her songs when she was like 18.
I mean, it used to have so many cool shows. I remember I did like the Whitest Kids You Know had that Sunday show there, and I did this show there. And then my friend's band, Easy Action, aka John Brandon from Negative Approach, is like playing like after that shit. And
who was? I'm sorry, I missed what you just said because my AirPods connected like a.
John Brandon.
It just name dropped John Brandon.
Yeah, happens all the time on this podcast. John Brand, this classic singer, was like his band was playing right after. But at that same time, that guy, Todd P, was putting on all these shows. And I started also doing his fucking shows. And that was like Japanther, AIDS Wolf. Like
AIDS Wolf was dope. They're AIDS the best. Wolf was, yeah.
Their design was really a whole thing back then, too. Sarah Pop, they had this whole like art thing they were doing.
I know. I played with them a bunch of times. I saw him at a house show in Chicago, and they my brother does this thing, Matt Daly, called the Renegade Craft Fair, where they have this craft fair and they travel around, and AIDS Wolf used to come around with them and sell their posters, and now they're like crazy fine artists. Like,
that's, you know, so cool.
I don't really actually know a lot about what they're doing now, but I hear it's, they're kind of like Jean-Claude and, you know, the people that wrapped Central Park or whatever. What are those people
called? Yeah.
Cool artists, weirdos. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, they're lifers. They're lifers. Chloe and Yannick have been around forever and ever.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And what I'm just,
Chloe's one of the hardest people I know. Chloe, like, wild shit. Like,
what a front person.
Wild front person. Awesome front person. And, I remember she, I think it was the Jay Riotard show where,
does seeing it that way make it better
for me?
Riotard? Yeah. I think I see that. I mean, Yeah.
Like, it's a doubt. Jay is one of those people that is, you know, like, I was friends with him, but like, it's very difficult to kind of parse who this guy was. I mean,
you do wonder what it would be like now, but maybe it would be more like my homies, you know, and King Khan and those guys. Like, they're not, they're cool. I don't know. Those guys aren't, you know,
they're not the same, right? Like, Jay, like, they're rational people. Jay was, rest in peace.
Well, maybe he'd be in jail. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Like, he was a wild dude, and like,
he was based.
Well, that name was because people used to call him that, and the reason he spells it that way is because that's how he thought it was spelled.
Yeah, like, and when you listen to the later stuff, it's so sad. Like, when he started getting into his like later, really interesting solo stuff after Blood Visions, like, some of those songs are about like definitely like physical abuse, you know, and it's like, I don't think he came from an easy environment. And I think he was really nervous in a way. And he was very, Damien, you were talking about Jay. I took you away and started.
Jay was
like, Canadian. I didn't know.
No,
I
don't
know.
Memphis.
Okay. I don't know much about Jay.
He was a
JR.
I remember we played this Vice party at South by Southwest, and we're all chilling backstage, and I just met your friends in Human Giant, Rob.
Oh,
and,
nice!
And I just
at
met
South
them.
By Southwest. Yeah,
yeah. They cool. Because we had all played this comedy music show that I think Chunklet helped organize earlier that day. And so they came to the show and they couldn't get in, right? So I went and got them in, and then I went backstage and I'm like, oh, those guys from Human Giant are at the show. And Jay's like, they owe me money for a fucking sink. And I'm like, I don't think they owe you money. I think probably, you know, MTV does, or, you know, whoever. And he's like, I'm gonna go get the money from them. I'm like, Jay, they don't owe you the fucking money. That's not how this works. And you know, it's not how it works.
Right. So, right.
I don't know why you're pretending like they're going to have,
it's kind of like,
but
that
since they were on MTV. Like, yeah. Okay.
But you know, sense. It's kind of like being like, that guy hangs out with that guy. I don't like that he hangs out with MTV.
Hey, you tell your boss to pay up. I'm sorry. What? You tell your boss, give me my fucking money. It's insane. I love it. It's an insane person.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's that kind of stuff that was.
Sorry, people. I don't mean to talk ill. That I realize we're talking about it.
I don't even know. May are we talking ill? You know, it's.
May he rest.
It's a huge part of punk is mental health stuff, right? Like, that's like the reality is, like, a lot of people are drawn to this.
Yes,
myself included. I know, Nick, you're fairly open about your stuff that you battle with.
Yeah, I'm a crazy
with, not battle, deal with, yeah. deal with. You know,
no, yeah. I mean, you know, it actually is legitimately a struggle for like so many people. So everyone kind of talks about battle. You know, Norm Macdonald has an amazing joke about battling cancer, you know, or whatever. But it's like with the brain stuff, it literally is like every day. You know, you're like.
Yeah.
Why, you know, I have to quell some kind of feeling, or
I got
to
do push-ups until I feel okay.
Right. Yeah.
Or something. Or take a
massive pee.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I got to take a leak.
Yeah. And then,
well, there's easier roads to kind of hoe in life. Like, you could be if you just were like, oh fuck, I'm well adjusted, you know, you wouldn't have to search this stuff out and you wouldn't really need to go to these places to find it, because you could just like listen to Lady Gaga on the radio or listen to whatever, you know, shows up in front of you and you dig it all because you're well adjusted.
And you're out to dinner and you're like, what the fuck is with my steak? You're like a total dick. There's nothing else to do. You know?
In this
we're cool dude. Here's the thing. We're cool dudes.
Yeah.
You know, remember we're cool guys. Fuck
punk rock stuff also had that thing, the mental health thing, but it wasn't thought of as like, we're going to get famous. You know, it was literally people being like, I'm Joe Average here, you know, and I'm just freaking out in my brain and I have to do this stuff, you know? So it's actually like so universal.
Yeah. I mean, so much punk is about like, I hate the suburbs. Like, you know, my mom and dad are dumb. And then like,
I don't,
that's why punk, that's why I got into it, you know, cause it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like so many bands really are hilarious. Like the Descendants are hilarious. They have funny songs.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I was thinking about like Damien, you texted us before and you're like, I'm listening to Gizm. You know,
yeah,
and Gizm, right, or like Japanese punk, like what would you call it, like foundational, you know, and yep, legendary.
Yeah,
and I've probably listened to like, you know, Gizm eight times of my own volition, you know, and I enjoyed it, but it's so hard. Like, there's sometimes I feel like I just didn't get the punk manual. So there's all these people who seem to have read the whole manual. I'm like, I just read the page about, you know, the mentors five times and then I skipped.
Right. That's like, me. Angry. Cause that's all I have.
There's, it gets so much better for both of you than the mentors. No, like I promise
I don't
you,
listen
better
to the
shit
mentors
out there.
I like,
I just, I was
eye.
Just saying them because they're the lead singer is El
Duce.
He's
like, oh yeah. Yeah. Racist,
have you watched the mentors documentary?
No, should I?
On Tubi. Oh my god!
I've watched Hated, the Gigi Allen documentary.
Jesus Christ!
This is a amazing retrospective documentary. So, and it's, you know, Hated is obviously brilliantly directed, and I think Todd's gone on to much bigger things since hanging out with Gigi.
Yeah, much less dark things. I'll say that.
Yeah, this
still
this,
hasn't. Yeah,
this person's not directing Hated. But at the same time, the stuff in it is mind blowing. Like at one point they get to the guy who El Duce says is the dude that killed Kurt Cobain in that Kurt and Courtney documentary.
Right.
And he's the last guy to see El Duce alive and drove El Duce to the train yard where El Duce was hit by the train, you know, not to be a conspiracy dude.
Whoa.
But it's pretty, you know, this guy definitely.
Wait,
and then.
So- I'm sorry, are we talking about the Nick, the filmmaker dude?
No, Nick Broomfield in Kurt and Courtney, when he approaches El Duce and is like, I heard you were
Mr.
offered.
Mr. Duce!
Yeah,
to right. kill.
And he's like, yeah, I was offered, you know, this much money, but I turned it down. And then he says, but I know who did do it. I'm not going to say on film. Okay, maybe I'll say it. And then he says the guy's name. Okay. And this, the guy is the dude who in this documentary they talk about drove El Duce to the train yard the day that El Duce died from being accidentally run over by a train.
Wow, accidentally. Yeah.
But maybe it was an elaborate prank.
I'd say he's a dummy and he was asking for it if that's the case.
But they interview this guy in the documentary.
Yeah, you don't let a murderer drive you to a train yard.
They interview the guy in the documentary and he fucking says, like, kind of implies that, yeah, maybe he did kill Kurt Cobain. And he's put out a record called I Killed Kurt Cobain.
The Tupac guy did that too. That's why they raided the dude about Tupac's death the other month. Like, there's this guy, because now we live in this insane thing with YouTube where, like, mobsters have, you know, monetized their stuff and are exaggerating, I think. So, like,
oh, they all have podcasts. They're amazing.
They all podcasts. Yeah. Michael Francisi hates Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Sammy the Bull is a podcast. It is so boring.
Yeah,
so boring.
These guys are really boring, it turns
and
out.
And he's a rat. It's a rat. We're like, hey, I'm a rat. I'm a bad guy.
And I think in hip hop, there's like that happens a lot more quietly, but like DJ Vlad obviously talks to a lot of people like that. And then there's a dude who like keeps basically intimating that he was involved in the death of Tupac, and that's why the case was reopened and they raided his house. And it's like, man, you don't know if it's people just sort of saying it, you know, over the years, and then the police are just like literally like, someone faxed us that this happened, time to spend $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
Right, like, because it's great press, you know, oh, the police are investigating the murder of someone we love.
Right.
Police are so good, you know, like,
yeah. People brag about like robberies they do too online. They like show the money and stuff.
And yeah, they just arrested
That happened to me actually really recently. No,
for real?
No, I'm just
kidding. Okay, I was gonna be like, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that, dude. I didn't someone snatched your chain.
Yeah,
has the comedian just like, ever
look at
been
this
arrested?
Shit I stole.
Someone snatched the Nick Kroll chain off right off your neck.
I know.
I feel like if you do open mics, though, you do like kind of see new comedians confess to crimes on
right
shows.
Oh, know? Yeah. If you do improv, like beginning improv classes, I used to like take, you know, level one classes and then eventually taught improv. And there's always like a shady, like 53-year-old lawyer that's like there to like be weird to women and get out some kind of like, he doesn't know it, but he's getting out some kind of like weird, like issue that he has like through improv scenes. And he'll like sit down and be like, all right, dance for me, bitch, or something, you know, something truly horrible. It's like, okay, everybody stop. So you got to be respectful to people, but it's like this little anger comes out and it's like, oh man, it's just like speaks so much of what you're like, you're willing to do this in a room full of people. Like, wow, people are fucked.
I mean, it's true in punk too, right? Like yeah. That's the thing when bands are starting off, you know, it's like when I, one of the first shows I saw was with punk legends from Pittsburgh, Drunk Punk Legends, Submachine. And,
oh, wow. Nice.
And I came into Sneaky D's in Toronto. I was like 13 years old, walk upstairs, and it was some show with like a bunch of these sort of what we call drunk punk bands in the 90s that were like local, just really gritty bands. And, you know, right. I'm sure that, you know, they were doing, I mean, bunch of fucking goofs were like a street gang kind of thing, you know? And
yeah.
I was listening to the least punk stuff to start my day today. I put on the song. I woke up. I have one of those Google things that plays music and listens to me do things. And I played Kryptonite on it by Three Doors Down.
Oh man, Kryptonite!
You wouldn't have been into that song when it came out, though, Nick. You were already in a punk band, right?
Yeah, but like. Like I said,
don't call me Superman.
Exactly, it's catchy.
It's so catchy. Yeah, they did a good
Would
job.
Would you still be brown, brown? And then I put on Drops of Jupiter because lyrics make me laugh.
You know that song? Send me off to a beautiful oblivion, rendezvous, then I'm through with you. That one is nonstop in my head.
Eve 6, right? I think it's Eve 6.
Is that Eve 6? That's a jam, man.
Gonna but put Eve my 6 are cool now.
Hard in a blender.
For some people.
I don't know if they're cool. I think that guy is just a good dude, and he's like funny on Twitter.
Yeah. I heard he pays someone to write the tweets.
He pays someone to write those tweets? Are you serious?
I hear it's another comedian.
That's
the rumor I heard, that allegedly, I'll throw it allegedly.
He's so self-deprecating. I thought this surely has to be this. He's like, yeah, our music sucks, we're a shitty band from the 90s, whatever, we're doing it. I don't know. Yeah,
what if it's Drill? What if it's
Hang Drill? That's how Drill makes all his money. He pays him. Drill's the best. I've just met Drill recently. I've gotten to know Drill. Drill's so funny. It's a great,
that's cool,
great dude. Yeah,
it's so weird that how now like all that stuff is like all that Twitter, weird Twitter thing is now like LA, and even like the podcast, like the Irony podcast, it's now all in LA, so everyone's commingling.
Yeah, none of the big podcasts though, they're all like in whatever,
Austin,
wherever, right. Hassan lives, or Mr. Beast or whatever. Austin, that's it, man, that's it.
Florida. Yeah.
People Doug Ford's favorite town.
Yeah, Doug Ford's favorite place.
Yeah. What a weird place. I mean, I've only been there once for South By.
Really?
And it was so fun. But yeah, I didn't see. I mean, it's pretty awesome still, I guess. I don't know. I had a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of people that tend to move to Texas and Florida that are a certain mind state of kind of like individual liberty and all that stuff. And then there are just a lot of, there are also just tons of cool people there too.
Hardest partying town in the world. Like the place people party there. Like, oh my God. Like the first time I ever tried codeine cough syrup was there. Like I took some of the craziest pills, you know, at a different time in my life, but
sure. Yeah.
You know, back at when I was South straight by? Edge, back when I was straight edge.
Yeah. what house Toronto is a party town.
It's a party town, I guess.
Have you heard of this guy Drake?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's a boring rapper that I weirdly love, like all of his songs. He's a boring rapper that I truly like. When he comes, that new song 21, can you do something for me? I'm like, this is heard so good.
I would listen to it. I always like
deeply
Drake
catchy.
Song.
Yeah, he seems like a cool dude. No, I don't know.
I only met him one time, and it was.
For real?
Yeah, it does not didn't go too good.
In Drake days or Aubrey days?
In Drake days.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
My wife was on Degrassi with him during Aubrey days.
Wow. She was on Degrassi? Who did she play?
Just background. She's in the background scene watching him at a show and stuff. Amazing. But he was just like, you know, just like a normal actor kind of hanging out type vibe. Yeah,
I did background on Degrassi with my old bandmate Daniela.
This is
well.
Awesome. I love these facts.
You love Degrassi. I mean,
I love Degrassi. I grew up watching like the OG Degrassi.
Yeah.
They they just funneled reruns of Degrassi into PBS or something. It was like public television, maybe. And I was just like, yeah, it hit me at the right time. I was like, oh my God, this is what older kids are like.
They would show it in my school when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you watch it in class.
Little lessons and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, like it really went for that like docu realism Canadian sort of like, oh, we're watching like students have problems. This is cool. You know, I'm watching a guy get AIDS from his fake girlfriend.
Yeah. Don't get in a fight in the bathroom or you'll get AIDS, eh?
Yeah.
Because I was obsessed with also like I was at that point going to Toronto and playing hockey against these like middle school hockey teams, and I just remember like being like, oh my God, they really talk like fucking Degrassi, this is amazing. And like later basing a character on that. So yeah,
do any of your Canadian friends in LA like Canadify themselves to you, like reveal it ever? Do you
no, they keep it to themselves. Nick Thorburn has never no, I don't think you can clock. Yeah, you can clock it if somebody's like talking and stuff. Sure, yeah.
It's changed.
That's
Drake
true.
Changed it. Like, you know, it used to be something that you kind of like hid, but now it's like it's amazing when you tell people from Toronto and they're like the six,
like
the six.
People,
six.
That is cool. He did make it cool. You're right to a certain extent.
To a certain extent,
like the Raptors.
Yeah,
like we him at the like it's like. He's cool. He's a cool dude. Yeah.
And Rob Ford.
I mean, let's not lose. And the kids in the hall.
I went to see.
Oh my God. The kids. It's Bellini. It was Bellini's birthday yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Gotta wish Bellini a happy birthday. He's a hero.
I went to the Descendants Circle Jerks adolescent show. And it's a venue owned by Drake. And in the dressing room, before you go into the individual dressing rooms, there's Rob Ford's Toronto Argonauts football jersey.
Really?
Right there. Framed. That sucks. So weird. So weird as
that's
vibe.
Like a great, no, that's a really good, it's so telling of this certain Toronto vibe that I can't stand, where it's kind of like being celebrating something that's not even as cool as infamy. I can't really describe it. It's like there's a video right now of a guy driving into a bike lane and into pedestrians in the middle of the city in Toronto. It was insane. And the guy filming it, the first thing he goes like, this is why I love Toronto. And I'm just like, why are we like this?
The six. It's not Toronto anymore, dude. It's the six.
Right.
What does the six mean again? Is it an area code or
it's like six areas or something?
And it's six
we
nations.
Used to be six separate cities.
Oh, okay.
Six. But then it was unified into the Greater Toronto Area.
Wait, so the Toronto football team is literally the Argonauts?
Yes. Yeah.
That is amazing. That's the most Wheels Ontario thing. That's
Argos had a moment, dude, when it was owned by John Candy, Wayne Gretzky, and the guy that owned the
Bruce McNall.
Right, right. Wow.
And they signed Rocket Ishmael away from the NFL.
Oh, you
better believe it was going for it. They had American teams for
Doug Flutie too, eh?
We had Doug Flutie first.
Oh, they grabbed up Doug Flutie. Okay, yeah.
Moon came from the CFL to the NFL.
Right. There was a big, it was like the 90s. There was a feeder. Like the CFL was a bigger deal.
Well, it seemed that way. Yeah. Because of the
co-mingling factor.
Well, and also, I think for QBs, it was like, the minor leagues for pitchers, like a place to develop because it was such a passing game that and it was a longer field. So you had to throw so much more. And
wait,
I think
Damian, are you a football guy?
For that era, that was my sports period. Like I didn't get into any of the Raptors shit when that was going down. I was like, "Fuck, this is fucking up traffic."
You know, I was only into sports in the 90s. That was like when I was into sports.
Same.
I keep up with the Steelers because it's
you got to. You're from Pittsburgh. It's you got to.
But you guys aren't into the Leafs at all. That would be what I was into if I.
I'm going to a Jays game tomorrow. Actually,
that's fun. Going to
I'm going with like my cousin and then two of my second cousins. I'm stoked.
Oh, Lauren's going too. My wife.
No way. It's a Jewish party.
Are you Jewish?
Yes, so I don't know. I guess it's a Rosh Hashanah party.
Are you Jewish? Your name is Flanagan.
I know, but it was
the most Irish name in the world.
You'd think so, but my mother is Jewish. And
then you're Jewish. Yeah.
And then yes, according to those ironclad laws.
Yeah,
Flanagan, look, Irish Jew. What about you? What's your makeup there?
I'm like Irish, German, and English.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So for your new show, like, what was the stuff that set you off to do it this way?
Oh, well, this is Johnny Doily. And so what really this stuff is, it's a mixture of kind of like conspiracy guys and the Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan, Russell Brandiverse. And it is a guy who is or Russell Brand's recent turn, by the way, and
his heel turn.
And then it's partially kind of a what are their name? Gary Gunn, who you wouldn't know because he's a TikTok. It's these guys on TikTok that teach you about masculinity.
So like fresh and fit. Life.
It's a guy named Julian himself. No, he'll be like, all right, stand up. Like these guys dress like disgustingly immaculately. Like they're all a little bit jacked, so they'll like wear a Guns N' Roses t-shirt but cut out the collar of the t-shirt to show their clavicles because they're kind of jacked, and then they'll have a long sweater, or they'll have one of those long Dave Chappelle like dress shirts, you know, and like insane, you know, shoes or whatever, and they'll just be like, you know, What if I, like, you know, like, who are you? Like, say your name, and some nerd will get up. They're like in a, you know, like a Westin ballroom, like a shitty, like, you know, like Holiday Inn ballroom. And they're like, you know, a half full of total dorks. And they're like, yo, get up, man. What are you? Like, say your name. Like, sit down. What is your deal? And so, like, the point is getting in people's faces. So part of the show is audience participatory, like me helping people, but it delves into conspiracy and just dummies who, you know, all these people, there's a huge market. They all have podcasts that are making so much money because they have agreed to be conformist iconoclasts who pretend that they're individuals. and are actually just fascist clowns. So yeah,
it's so strange, kind of right? It's just this whole thing now with like people who are corporate motivational speakers, but like they're branding themselves as if they're fucking Tesla, Nikolai Tesla or something, you know, or like there's some inventor, there's someone who's like adding anything to the world, and all they're kind of saying is just like, you know, be really anxious when you're working.
Yeah.
You know,
they're just like they're like public life coaches kind of.
Well, yeah, it's just filling the void religion used to fill for people.
Yeah.
Same thing that punk filled for me, you know, where I found this thing where it filled that void for me. And thankfully punk to me, especially the stuff I found, led me to read some really interesting things and exposed me to a lot of really cool art and opened my eyes to like the world. But everyone's filling that void with something. And if it's, if it's not something positive, it's going to be something real dark right now. And like you're saying, I just like as a parent now with kids, you brought up these TikTok people. You don't really control what shows up in your kid's algorithm. So obviously you have to
or
monitor
yours.
It's
sickening. It's sickening. I mean, it's like Steven Crowder to me is like just like probably one of the biggest pieces of shit in like this hemisphere, because A, Canadian, and B, it's just like basically a guy who's like, how are you doing, fellow kids? Like it's transparent to like a lot, most people over 17.
But the audience is undeniably gigantic, so you have to treat them like they're like legitimately producing something valuable.
Well, and also it's just also it's like that they strike a balance between like the sort of infomercial Christian, like we are paying to put ourselves in front of as many eyes as possible, and actual popularity. You know, I think that's what the Daily Wire, like Ben Shapiro's people, I think that's what they've done, because they're actually like apparently turning up like the amount of money they have.
They make
absurd,
crazy amount of money.
But I think
Ben Shapiro is
given
a ridiculous clown. Nobody should listen to. I bet he's a great boss. You know, I bet he gets a cake for people. He's like seems so organized, you know, and he just makes it seem like you're doing a good thing at where you're like, you know what, Ben's he's crazy, a little weird, but you got me a cake for my birthday and he remembered what I like and stuff.
But the person I was thinking of when you were talking about this, I've been obsessed with wrestling, like old wrestling lately.
Which paid to get on TV too. Which should be noted.
Yeah, well, it did in the '80s when it was the territories. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that makes
sense. It's really cool. Like that's why WWE I think was such a different thing, because eventually it was like they wanted it, but most of the time it was a pain to get on. But I've been watching like Ultimate Warrior stuff.
He's dark.
But dude,
he's
dark, but he's like one of the original guys like this. And what's crazy is he was one of the most dark and negative people in the WWF in a way where he was like Black Cloud over him at all times, didn't want to deal with people, didn't like, he only wanted to talk to like Vince McMahon, he would hold him up for money.
I might have heard a story on this podcast about this, like
probably,
I mean,
yeah,
possibly,
and like
it's possible,
but there's also the afterwards, you know, after he left WWE and changed his name legally to Warrior so people could like know who he was,
because he didn't own the IP.
Yeah, he did this like speech at a college that's online, and it's insane. And halfway through, it gets into the really homophobic stuff. It gets into this stuff. But right before the homophobic stuff, he goes, "Who here has heard of Ayn Rand?"
Oh no!
What is it, a Rush concert?
It might as well have been. And then
Neil Peart. Like, Neil Peart is like me.
Yeah he's so he was one of the original guys who was like preaching this kind of weird fresh and fit thing, and he wound up he had like a school he made, and there's like clips of him yelling at teenagers.
Like, anyone can make a freaking school these days.
But there
did
was
you watch this documentary BS High?
No,
it's about charter schools.
Incredible. Well, it's specifically about this one guy that, and it kind of like explains why conservatives want to destroy public schools in America. And it's because you can make such a ridiculous amount of money from these charter schools. And so there's this school called IMG, right? It's IMG and it's a football high school feeder school. So they have just enough academics to get by and pass the state exam or whatever. And they just play football all the time and they're the best talent. They attract the best talent. And it's like IMG Models. It's the same company. So it's IMG Models Agency and then IMG Football High School. Okay. So this is this school just sold to a hedge fund for $1.2 billion. It's a high school, right?
Holy
so
shit.
That America's if you're wondering insane. Like why like everyone's like got a school, it's because there's so much money. So this is about this crazy sociopath that gets it's so deeply sad. It's the saddest document because he gets really poor kids from, you know, really bad, but he combs the whole and like attracts football talent. So he's got these brilliant, amazing football players who are super poor. He has no academics at his high school. I don't want to spoil it, but it's just this, it's the story of how like one sociopathic, super motivated dude can now destroy the lives of like 100 children before he's caught and basically like get away with this. And he's like, in the documentary, he's like, I didn't break the law. Look up the law. He like, you see all the laws. And he's like, I did not break a law. It's just, this is what we're doing in this country now. We're giving the education system to kind of whoever wants it. It's so dark. Whoa, and you so just feel wild. Terrible for these kids. But the one thing this guy does do is he gets them a game versus the IMG school, which is the actual, a lot of those kids go to the NFL. And there's so, it's like ridiculous. The pressure on these kids. Oh my God. Anyway,
and even going to the NFL is crazy because it's like you went to a high school where it wasn't setting you up with skills besides football, and your football career lasts 12 years, right?
Or
maybe if you're lucky.
Or one game, you know,
you get injured. Yeah.
I love Hard Knocks. Yeah. I watch NFL Hard Knocks, and it's amazing. Like these kids that go in the NFL and like the pressure on these people to make it. And it's crazy because it's the Jets is this Hard Knocks, and they've had them the whole preseason with Aaron Rodgers, quarterback, new quarterback. They've got all this crazy talent that he attracted, so much riding on this stuff. And then last night he popped his Achilles tendon. Yeah. And if you're on X or Twitter, you can't avoid, or I can't avoid, seeing the detailed shot of him, his Achilles tendon breaking. And if you think of the pain that would be for anyone, it's the most insane. It's kind of the most insane pain you can feel is your Achilles tendon breaking or getting cut. And just watch Aaron Rodgers after his Achilles tendon. It's complete. This guy he's like a soldier. It's completely amazing how mellow he is after his Achilles tendon gets popped.
So
the point is, I'm looking forward to watching how that plays out. It'll be interesting.
Did
he drink? That's a nice big cup you got there, dude.
My cup. Oh yeah, no, this is a big Stanley cup. It's a big mug. That's cool. I fill this with water. This is like my water thing, but it's apparently this is a TikTok thing. Stanley mug, big huge mugs like this. But I didn't know that. So
I'm drinking out of my kid's Minecraft mug.
Oh, that's man, cool. TNT, really I love cool. that.
Yep.
I've never played Minecraft, though. I'm deeply immersed in Zelda Breath of the Wild. Tears of the Kingdom, rather. And there's, like, Minecraft elements, I guess, in that.
Now. I'm playing Zelda Phantom Hourglass for Nintendo DS. I love it.
Whoa! Oh, because do you have that on Switch or do you have a DS?
I have a DS. We last talked, I've been collecting old video games like fucking crazy, but also playing PS4. Yeah. So
cool. How about you, Damien? Are you into video games?
No.
Good for you.
No. Yeah. I played a little bit of Angry Birds. I got really into that for
super
a second.
Super fun. Super fun. Physics game.
Super good. Super good game.
Yeah. I got
great IP.
I've got some, I got an Xbox, the second one they put out.
Yeah,
360.
And then I bought like Halo and a bunch of games for it, but I've never played them.
I just explored Halo. Just the don't Halo go games there. Are yeah. no Halo's sick. Single player.
I'm sure it's fun. I just like who has time? Like it's so.
I have time.
I waste so much time. Yeah, it's rare. Like I at some flights, I'm just like, there's no way I'm gonna like write or anything. I can't sleep. I'm going to play this game for 4 hours and it's wonderful.
I mean, I gotta say,
if you're ever going to try a video game, Zelda, it's a masterpiece. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of art I've ever seen. And it's unbelievable. It's like being in the game is it really, truly it's like amazing. Yeah. Really well done.
I've got friends that play games.
Don't ever play games. Yeah.
No, I got friends like yourselves that play video games, and I got a bunch of friends that are super into it. And obviously, my kids are really into it. You know, but I just, you know, I've got a friend who designs video games. You ever heard the game Binding of Isaac?
No.
Oh, it's a
cool name.
It's a wild game. It's like a.
Oh, you're friends with the dude who made that game? It's like, yeah. it's a huge indie game. John, it's huge.
Yeah.
He came on the podcast, and it was a. It was an unbelievable comment. Blew my mind because indie gaming was something I knew nothing about, and how huge it is, and how
racist it can be.
Well,
which you now know, you're buying.
Shout out to Resistance.
The shit that you're buying. Guys, bringing this fucking podcast into the gutter.
I shouldn't say shout out to Resistance Records, that's getting cut, Nick.
I don't care how much they're paying you. That's getting cut.
Shout out.
They are not paying me. I hate Resistance Records. You know what I am? I'm a down low tweet reporter for the racist.
Sounds like you're resisting the resistance.
I resist the resistance. I think that we all are. I think that racism is a poison.
Oh, absolutely. It's a scourge on the land. Oh, man. I'm reading this book, G-Man, about J. Edgar Hoover. And it is so just, he's basically in the KKK. Like,
I mean, it's crazy.
All the fathers of our country are just in, he's not literally in the KKK, but he's in the frat. KKK was a college frat that people
started. That
Richard
Daley shit's the same thing about that mayor in Chicago. Like, they resisted integration, and that's why Chicago is the way it is. And it's the place where Martin Luther King, when they did that March for Freedom, like he didn't feel like he won in Chicago. And and Daley, like they would try to bring in a black family into North Side Chicago or whatever, and it would literally cause a riot surrounding.
Hey, this is my grandfather you're talking about. So watch.
I know.
Mayor Daley.
I think that
it's
your
so
grandfather,
weird that his name is
you
Daley.
Know what? One of the reasons I asked you on this podcast is on Damien's podcast.
Yeah, I was like, what the
one
fuck,
of the reasons
Nick?
I reached out. Do you want to be on Damien's podcast?
What is this, a hostile takeover, Nick? You think you're going to hand over the reins after this shit?
Dude. You got it. Anyway, we should start a punk band. I think can we do a punk band, and
yes,
I learned guitar and I have the perfect amount of guitar playing skill for like a beginner punk. Like I could definitely crush it in a punk band.
Basically, it would have to be like Damien and I singing.
Yeah, two singers.
You on guitar.
Oh no, I can sing too.
Okay, you and me and Damien singers. Fronting it.
Yeah, and we're the Beastie. It's like Beastie Boys. So we play hopscotch, hop around, hot potato versus. That'd be so great.
And then
that was a trend in hardcore for a minute, where you'd have a band with multiple singers.
Yeah, that's true.
It always resulted in like one person having to stand around looking nervous and bored, waiting for their part to come back in.
Well, the ones that I can think of were the ones that had like the male female. Kind of like call and response punk stuff from the 90s.
Oh like yeah, they're definitely that. That was
Naked
I'm
Aggression
more...
is the only one I'm thinking of. But
oh yeah, I was thinking definitely... like beat Happening is kind of like, or maybe
yeah, and Huggy Bear were also like that. Yeah,
right. Yeah, there's lots of bands that were like that. Vaseline's are kind of like that too.
Yeah, the best band. Vaseline.
Flies in the Vaseline's.
No. Flies in the Vaseline. We are. I'm learning several Stone Temple Pilots songs. That's how I learn guitar is largely like playing horrible songs. Like every morning there's a Henning. Seriously, like that's number three I learned, and I can still play it. And,
are you learning guitar
so easy
from like
fun.
Guitar Hero 2003?
No, I have this app called Tabs. I don't know if it's like Guitar Tabs, and you just learn. I started with the All Cat Stevens songs, just learned all that songs, and then I was like, I'm gonna learn Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, and just like play those. Like Bowie songs are like a little bit intermediate and you can kind of like figure it out. His like early stuff at least. And then yeah, just keep playing it. I like Hotel California. I mean, it's super fun to play. Like it doesn't matter how bad the song is. It's just like, wow, I can make the sounds. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, that's why the songs were written, basically, because the guy was writing it. He's like, this is fucking fun.
Yeah. I can swallow my pride. I can choke on the rat.
This is the only thing, my musical form of expression is this alligator keyboard.
Wow. I like that. Play it. Oh, there's no sound.
I don't play it properly, but.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Is there supposed to be music coming out, Nick, or are you just. There we go.
Let's go. Yeah, it's like that's our band. Nick on alligator. We all play drums and sing. That's three drummers.
Damien or John, I want to ask you because I feel like I've got you here.
Oh yeah, fire away.
Take over, and Nick. Get in the driver's
John,
seat.
I've got you here on Damien's podcast.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, Nick.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad to have you here on Damien's podcast that I'm now guest hosting. what do you think of Oliver Anthony? Did you fucking jam out to that shit? Is this a controversial topic? Can we?
Oliver Anthony. The Richmond North of Richmond.
Richmond North of Richmond.
Yeah, I wanted it to be kind of good or something. I don't have a problem with Oliver Anthony. I think I have a problem with like American education or something. I'm just like, you don't have a framework for critical thinking. And cause I listened to partially like his Joe Rogan and I was kind of, oh man, like, but he's also young. So he could learn. He has the right, maybe he has the right. I believe in him. Cause at first I was like, what is this racist piece of shit? And I like kind of maybe like, was like, took the lyrics in the wrong way, but then I heard something that he said and I was like, oh, he kind of is a little bit I don't know.
No,
he's a dummy
response.
But he's like, yeah,
I had a similar response where I heard that song and I honestly was like, you know, by like a right wing song standard, this is like kind of the best they got, and no wonder they like immediately rushed to prop him up. You know, and yeah, right. He had that like totally ignorant verse about welfare or whatever. But honestly, I mean, we're talking about punk. It's like that is like a classic, like late 80s, early 90s bullshit line in some fucking hardcore song.
Oh, that's true. But it's also like a country, like country's like, I got my Heinz 57 and I'm ready to spread it on my fucking
so expensive.
Burger.
It's like really expensive ketchup.
Basically shout outs to brands.
he'd had a head injury at like 21 and he'd had sobriety issues and like seemed like he was just immediately taken by all of the wrong people and they were like, this is our guy,
right?
And the fact that he did come out and do this sort of like, he just has sound seems very confused politically, overly religious,
but the fact that he was like, he's a good singer, man.
The fact that he was like, I thought it was ridiculous. These people played it. I think it's, he said musicians were he said right-wing musicians were like trying to use him for relevancy.
Now
that side of X, you know, the bad side, which is the only side. They're all like, his accent's fake. As if no one's
he's too woke for them because he's actually like kind of about Bernie
anything
stuff.
You know, like he goes, oh, he said diversity is our strength. That's such a woke thing to say.
Yeah, I did see that he canceled the show because they were charging too much money, but it was like it was a bad idea. Like he didn't think it through and it was a big mistake. And he was like doing a show where he got paid $100,000 to do the show and he found out they were charging people $90 and he was like, no, I can't. He canceled the show and he was like, I won't do a show unless the price of the ticket is $40 or under. $40, that's it. And the venue like wrote him publicly and were like, hey man, you canceled the show. Like, it was like a really bad idea. Like, you have to like do the show and then switch your policy, you know? It was just funny.
Exactly. Like,
and he like had to apologize, like he got caught and then he had to send him. And I was like, okay, I am now endeared to this person. Whatever.
This
I
don't, is an I'm outsider. Not gonna buy his records.
I don't think he's Pete Seeger or something.
This is like Daniel Johnson or Wesley Willis being embraced by like the right wing. They're like, it's so cool. Daniel Johnson is stalking this coworker. You know?
Yeah. Like, he's literally from a, he's like from far, a place called Farmtown. Like, it's literally something like that.
We live in this time where it's like not about being necessarily good at your thing. It's like, how memeable is it? Like, how much traction can you get from cracking on it? And everything's monetized now. Like, it used to be, you know, you could buy something used, or you could hear it in passing because someone gave you a tape of it or taped it off. Like, check out this crazy pastor that I taped off TV.
Yeah.
But now every click on YouTube, every click on Spotify, as small as that payback is, kicks back to that artist or kicks back to the people that are platforming. You know, not necessarily this person. I know nothing about this person you guys are talking about, but like,
oh, sorry, you didn't. This red-haired, got redheaded guy with a big beard.
I stay
it's better
so,
that you don't know.
Exactly.
But I know. I just
I stay
got into
so
the,
out of this shit. Like, yeah, I feel like
I mean, it's healthy. Good. You are. It was what it was something that was just for the new creative for the news cycle for 1 week. Like, it was literally manufactured conversation, which is just what I guess we're doing, but we're doing the DIY version.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, all this shit is just, we're all just trying to escape, you know, and you just create, now you create your own bubble and you live within this bubble for better or for worse.
Your bubble looks cool.
My bubble is some bullshit, you know, but it's like, it is my bubble. You know, and I fill it with like.
What does that mean, though? What's a bubble? Like, you're.
Well, like, you're
I don't
like
feel
world.
Like you're in a bubble. Like, you're not. But if you're sequestering yourself from negative internet noise, I think that's just a positive bubble.
I think that's just the bubble I've created for myself. You know, like, you like, unless something comes up for you in your friend group that is out there, and I feel like. It just, you know, it wasn't being shared in my little bubble that I've created. Like, I get wrestling stories, you know, like sometimes I think some of these wrestling stories are huge news stories. And then I talk to people that don't follow this shit at all. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who the
I guess
hell
that's your bubble. Yeah. It's like, yeah,
Damian,
that's what you're talking. Yeah.
You asked me about CM Punk last week. And I was like, if you'd asked me like literally 2 weeks before, about anything about current wrestling, I wouldn't have known, but somehow I've been on this tip where, because I'm listening to old wrestlers talking about wrestling, suddenly they're talking about current day wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling CM Punk algorithm. Stuff.
Is CM Punk, what's it, what's CM stand for? Chris Martinez or something? It's
been speculated a lot of times different. I think Chick Magnet was at one
point. Oh yeah, that was the original was thing, to right? it.
Yeah.
What's where's he from? Was he from
Chicago?
Washington?
No, he's Chicago dude. He
parts unknown.
Yeah, like
that's the ultimate warrior, my friend.
All right.
He's on a small list of worst interviews I've ever done. He was on my TV show. Yeah, it was so fucking brutal.
Oh no.
I was fanning out huge. I was such a huge fan of his, and then like I think in wrestling that's like in music that's like a cool energy to give off, and it's like, yeah, man, thanks, but I didn't realize at that time because I was new to being around wrestling that's like not a good energy to give off in wrestling, because in wrestling, you know, you're a mark if you're a fan. And
I'm sure the fans that they get are absolutely insane.
Well, they literally pay to like hang out with them.
It is insane.
If you see a wrestling podcast and they have a wrestler on, they've like paid that wrestler to do this. Like, wrestlers are fucking carnies and it's cool. But the carny, what's the carny code? Trick the trickable.
They're not carnies, right? They're like, I guess they kind of are.
It came
like,
from carnies.
No, are carnies performers in carnivals too? I think of carnies as being the behind the scenes.
No, it was the people that used to travel with the carnival. And that's where wrestling and boxing started too. Like, boxing, you know, like, it's amazing. Wrestling's the most honest shit in the world, because you know, like we're talking about these people that milk these fucking fans and like just exploit the shit out of them, you know, and in punk too, it happens, right? Like we're all paying our little tithing to our churches. Wrestling's the most honest. It's like, no, you're a mark and we're the performers and you're not in our world and this is our world. Like they speak carny. Like Carney's a language, right? And
it's really interesting. And then even it's kind of the same thing that's happened in a lot of now that YouTube and podcast stuff and being keeping it real and doing interviews is like entertainment. Like it's mass. I can't really explain it, but it used to be you'd read like Please Kill Me or something. And when it first comes out and you're like, wow, I'm getting the real story about the New York scene. But now it's like, there's so many people doing the real story that, you know, you're getting kind of worked still. Cause it's people who are like, so you watch wrestlers getting interviewed and it's like, sometimes it feels like they're still not fully telling you everything.
Right. That's why you got to read all four Kiss books. To get to triangulate
the whole thing.
Like what is a real moment to these? Like what is real, you know?
Well, but I think that's also something I've found from doing this podcast is everyone's got their own perspective on shit. And like,
that's the truth.
You know, you talked about actually, John, when you were on the first time, like how, you know, your brothers were a heavy vibe for you as a kid and it kind of scared you off of punk.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't, well, maybe you can speak more to this than I could, but like I'm sure to them they weren't bullying you in that way or like weren't trying to scare the shit out of you with it as much as
they were trying to scare the shit out of my parents, I would say. But they were just genuinely into it, but yeah. I was too young, and so my vibe was actually RIP Jimmy Buffett. Like I was like into funny stuff,
right.
And so like Jimmy Buffett, I used to like go to like school. And there was a kid named Joe Smoller, and we would pretend to be middle-aged men and go up to each other and go in the early morning before school. We go, ah, man, how you doing? I feel like shit. I didn't sleep at all. My wife's ragging on my ass. I feel like shit. They'd be like, you listened to Buffett last night? And like, it was a way to be like, we shouldn't be into this. We know we're dorks, but we're just going to pretend we're old men. But that was like more my vibe. And then I started going to shows, and that got me seek out things.
Live stuff is just so intoxicating, right? Like so cool.
Yeah.
I think when
there's a scene and you start seeing the same people and you're like, oh wow, there's like a creative scene. That's
right. Because before that, it felt almost like you were entering TV or something. You're like, here I am at an event and you'll never see these people again because this is an event. It's one time and I'm leaving and I'm going back to my life.
Right.
And you're like, wait, there's the same person who was here before. And that person like, was on stages.
Wait, I can bother these people.
Oh yeah.
Come here. I'm gonna vomit. I drank too much.
Huge. Yeah. The amount of bothering. I mean, Damien and I have talked about it a lot on various podcasts about being punishers.
Yeah. I don't think have we ever told our Bruce McCullough story on here? I don't think we have.
Wow.
Dave Foley?
Or Dave Foley, sorry. Sorry, Bruce McCullough. Dave Foley story.
I mean,
tell it.
Well, I'll
wait. Both of you punished Dave Foley?
It was a mutual punishing, I'm gonna say, at that point, because he was there's gonna be so many good name drops in this story. We were at
wait. It starts at
a
classic Toronto. Let's take the name of something and we'll just change it and it'll be cool. So we were at North by Northeast.
Oh,
which
rad.
Does South by Southwest owns a piece of North by Northeast.
Sure, but still.
Because it was like they were like mutual friends. They kind of started at the same time. Like, and that was like meant to be the reference. And there used to be a North by Northwest in Vancouver too, and they were trying to do like a four corner.
North by Northwest is a great movie.
It's cool. Not quite the Boston Pizza thing, is what I'm saying.
Oh, we also have Boston Pizza. That's very confusing. Anyway, so we played a show in North by Northeast. Damien and myself and my friend Allison.
But was it Canadian Music Week? This was a Canadian Music.
North by Northeast was the first time I met Beckles. That's a different story.
Oh,
different
cool.
Party. Yeah, but Canadian Music Week. Was we heard there was a party at Mary Margaret O'Hara's house. Damien and myself and my friend Allison, our mutual
and friend. Esther was with us too, I think.
And our friend Esther. And we go to the, you know, Mary Margaret O'Hara, John. She's
Catherine O'Hara's sister.
Oh, yeah. For real? No, yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. Cool.
The O'Hara family are like a whole thing in Toronto. Like, wow. there's a lot. There's this guy, Marcus. Marcus is an actor, and even Mary Margaret, I have the same agent as her, I think. And then Catherine, obviously. But Mary Margaret put out an incredible record in the 1980s called Miss America.
That unbelievable is, record.
I mean, it's kind of got like Kate Bush kind of thing, but also like it's, oh, wow, in that Suzanne Vega that era out of stuff. Like it's, but it's better than all that. It's very unique, very, very unique. And she never did an album after that. So she was kind of like this legendary figure. We went to this really big old house on this like classic Toronto street called Huron. And it's just full, and we're like all 19 to 21. And, you know, who was there, Damien? I'll tag you in.
I'm trying to think who was in there.
I think Nico Case was like playing piano. Oh, came in or something.
Yeah, Nico Case was there because Mao had played, I believe. Or no, Nico was probably doing Nico early on by that point.
I think she was doing her solos.
There was
our guys from Sadie's.
Dave Doman. Sadie's were there, yeah.
Yeah, Dallas Good and all those people.
Rest in peace, Dallas. Dave Doman was there from Swearing at Motorists because it was the first time I'd ever seen anyone smoke weed out of an apple. I was straight edge.
Yeah, we saw
some other people on this call might have smoked weed
for the first time.
Nick.
And you know, it's also, we get there at 2 a.m. and there's a party going on and there's like adults here. It was very exciting. And we drove.
We were the youngest.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, you know, we were like little kids there practically. Like,
oh, and this guy from like a punk band we like called the Doughboys was there too. I think John Castro
was there.
Yeah. And then we immediately zone in. Dave Foley is there.
Nice. Dave Foley's there. Like, I think he's there with the woman, and I think he's with the woman who is Bruce McCullough's Danzig's character's you know, lady friend in
Revo.
in Brain Candy. Okay, like the girl that opens the door, like, and you know, and then she winds up being with the scientist later on in the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But she was there with Dave Foley. So
Allison was like a huge part of my like whole comedy thing growing up. She's always super encouraging about like funny shit. And she had satellite radio. So we were watching satellite TV. So we were getting MTV and stuff, which we didn't normally get in Canada. We were watching Syphil and Ollie and Jackass and all this stuff that was actually hard to find in Canada for a minute. So, but we were also so stoked on Kids in the Hall, obviously, you know, and so it was the biggest deal that Dave Foley was at.
Yeah, party. And Nick had a yak back, and Dave Foley was a little bit wasted and came up to us and tried to procure some party favors. And Nick and I were like, we don't have party favors.
I'm like, can you talk into this yak back for a second, though? It'll be fun.
And then he was like playing Dave Foley back to himself.
But no,
wasted. He's like, what are you doing?
No, but that was another moment where it's like, you know, when punishing, I've had moments where punishing has given me classic, like old Hollywood style. They did a thing that was in the spirit of how I like them kind of moments. So Dave Foley, it was, I have the yak back and I'm like, can you just talk into this? And he goes, what's that? And
I go, annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, it's a tool of the devil.
Yeah, the tool of the devil. And he's like swatting it.
Tool of the devil in a funny Kids in the Hallway.
Oh, that's good. That's good. He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's gonna get a good review. Yeah. I was gonna say, you should be the guy with the Coke and have that. And then he has to sit and watch you, and he has to pretend it's cool and be like, wow, okay, sir, this is really great. And then just keep doing
it. You know what? I'd be a lot more famous if that were what I did.
Well, then you do the Coke and then he's into it. And then
that was the first time I ever saw, that was the first time I saw people do cocaine that night too.
Wow. Yeah, where was the venue again? What was the,
it was at Mary Margaret O'Hara's.
Oh,
well, I don't want to say people did cocaine in North by North Harris' house.
It wasn't her. She wasn't doing cocaine, but she did.
No, she came out with a tray of freshly baked cookies at like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Oh, okay. It's she okay. So she made a nice. Cool album. She can do some coke. It's fine.
She sang on a fucked up record, but I wasn't in the studio when that happened.
Molly Mary O'Hara?
Is yeah, Mary Margaret O'Hara did.
Mary Margaret O'Hara.
Mary Margaret O'Hara.
I did meet Catherine O'Hara too one time. I interviewed Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. Cool.
Nice. I know, she's so amazing, and it's crazy when I see old, you know, pictures of her on SCTV in character, and I'm just like, you're so beautiful. It's so crazy. Yeah, how like she's not just beautiful, she's like character comedian beautiful, where she can like imbue it into the character she's doing. It's fucking insane.
Oh, she's an incredible actor, and one of the, you know, not to take anything from away from Eugene Levy, because, but he was, you know,
love
a little
Eugene
more.
Love.
Yeah, he was very nice, but like a little like, you know, hey, nice to meet you. But she came in, gave me a huge hug. She's like, I've been wanting to meet you. And just like, what? She was so sweet.
Cool.
Like the nicest, like one of the nicest people I've ever met, period.
Like, right. Yeah, they're a really special family. They do a St. Patrick's Day. Mary Margaret does a St. Patrick's Day show at the Horseshoe Tavern every year.
Whoa.
In Toronto, and it's been going on for like 30 way.
And she plays punk rock or what? Or
no, it's like
she is just all over. She can be like, it can practically be like spoken word performance art. Sometimes, like,
oh,
she
man,
does
I
exactly
this.
What you wouldn't expect or necessarily like people like, can you sing a song from Miss America? She's like, no, but I can do like an acapella scat thing, you know?
When she sang on the fucked up record, she came down to the studio and Mike gave her the lyrics. He's like, hey, here are the lyrics I wrote. And she's like, oh, I don't sing anyone else's lyrics. I'm going to just make up my own. And she went in and just scatted.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I don't sing anyone else's lyrics. No. That's great. Wow. Okay.
And just went in and scatted over the song. And some of it made it onto the track.
Yeah. What if you were like, can you sing backups? She's like, well, I'll sing my own.
Yeah.
Lyrics.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. You can do whatever the fuck you want. But
I don't know how well she would have done in the Shangri-Las. You know what I'm.
Yeah. I mean, or yeah. She could never have been in the Everly Brothers.
The Monkees. I mean, there's
so
a lot.
So many reasons. Like time, gender, though that's a construct.
I should probably go. It's
okay. Yeah, you guys, it's late for you guys. Thank you so much for
this has been fun.
Really
this will be fun. We'll see.
I'm glad.
This will break, shake out to a half hour, probably 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And everybody, we got pretty dark and I loved it. But everybody come out to my tour, please, especially Toronto. And thank you so much, Damien. And that's on 10/4. You'll bookend it. Sorry. But
yeah, thanks,
I love your
Damien.
Bookends and keep it up. And Nick, let's do the podcast next week. And thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.